Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. Our association with the kingdom of Christ is more than just a deduction of objective facts. We must have a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity and religion goes to the very depths of the soul. We can't look into a person's heart, but Jesus told us that we can observe a person's life and detect whether or not they are saved. I preached a message two Sundays ago from the seventh chapter of Matthew entitled, Who Are These People? You know, Jesus identified many different groups of people, some of which were saved, some of which were lost, some of which were lost, but said they were saved. Some that we might think were saved for a while, but yet are really lost. There are many people that say, Lord, Lord, but do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They call upon His name. There are those that preach and do many wonderful works and even cast out devils. But Jesus will declare, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that He never knew them. He said in that same chapter, he said, but we can identify people by their fruits. We observe a person's life to determine whether or not this person has really been to the fountain and drank of the living water. This is called what Baptists refer to in our articles of faith as the perseverance of the saints. That there's a persevering attachment that a person who's really saved has with the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein they will endure to the end. We've adopted a new doctrine that is not historically Baptist. I don't know where it originated, where it came from. It's not sound, it's not in Scripture. That you can identify a person's salvation based upon their profession or upon their joy or upon the way they testify. That doesn't do it for me. It takes more than that. It takes a life living for the Lord. Amen. That's the only thing we really had to go on. Because Jesus said a lot of people would make a profession but not have it in possession. Amen. Here in these passages of Scripture, I was trying to preach last week about wayside souls, how that seed is cast upon the wayside. Hearts that have grown hard because of the hardness of people who have trampled down their souls through various ways. We looked at many various ways, but I want to read these passages again. Now, this is not according to Matthew. Last week I read in Matthew chapter 13. Now I'm reading from Luke chapter 8. It's recorded three times in the Gospels, and thus I might preach three sermons on it. My next text may be next Sunday, the fourth chapter of Mark. You just might not know. But I want to speak to you about, since I talked about wayside souls last week, I want to talk about rock-hard souls. We determined last week that those people who are wayside souls, they hear but do not heed. They openly reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's another class of people, another group of people that Jesus identified, who receive the seed. They may even get baptized, join the church. They may for a while do good works, but they've never genuinely been saved. They have no rooted relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you must have a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the seed must be in you. God's seed. I'm talking about Jesus. Jesus is that promised seed. That was the promised seed of Abraham. The promised seed that was to come. I believe Jesus is the sower and the seed. Amen. That there must be a cooperation of the Holy Ghost when the seed is sown, where that your heart is broken up. There must be genuine plowing that goes on deep down in your soul. Amen. Now, if we were plowing, I suppose if we came to a rock, that plow might jump over the rock. I don't know. I've never plowed. I used to remember I was thinking about an old deacon at Landmark who passed away. But he used to talk about when he was a little boy and his dad would put him out there on the plow and knock him down. Brother Kirk would talk about plow, and as a young boy, he could barely reach the handles, and he would hit a rock, and that plow would jerk, and he would fall on the ground. He'd have to get back up, there are rocky places where we plow. I want to say this to the church. I need to read these passages of Scripture, but I want to tell the church, it is imperative for us to always scatter the seeds. Scatter the seed everywhere. We should not be sparing the seed. We should be sowing the seeds. Seed, the gospel was meant to be sown. Your testimony, the good news about Jesus Christ, needs to get out to a lost and dying world. It's not to just be held or harbored within the four walls of the house. It's to be taken to the world. And that's what we've been commissioned to do. I want to read these passages, starting in verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withereth away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit as an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, in the parable, they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside, notice here, the seed is what? The seed is the word of God. And those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. Okay, we have this group of people. They hear the gospel and they receive the word with joy. But what happens? I think one of the other gospel writers says that they receive the word with gladness. There's a joyful reception of the word. A joyful reception of the gospel. These are they that the seed is sown upon hard, rocky hearts. These have no roots. Which for a while believe. Which for a while believe, and in time the temptation of temptation fall away. In other words, they apostatize. There's no endurance. Listen, my friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, the Spirit of God comes in you. The seed of God is planted in you, and as John said in 1 John 3 and 9, that you cannot sin. That we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The seed, Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, when it's genuine, causes a continuous, perpetual, persevering effect upon our lives. Amen. Here in these passages, the soil seemed to be soft. And as the seed was being sown out there in Palestine, when you are out there in Israel, when they sow, actually it's cloudy when they sow, and there's like the early rains and the latter rains, and as they're sowing the seed, they may come across an area that appears to be good ground, but actually there's a large rock, a slab of stone that might be underneath, just underneath the surface. And they may go ahead and sow the seed, and it will begin to sprout. It will spring up. But after the clouds leave, the sun comes up, it begins to wilt Because it has no depth. My friend, there must be a depth in Jesus Christ that preserves you in the Lord. Now listen, we have a tendency to sin. Our old nature is prone to sin, right? But the Savior, if He's really within us, He will preserve us. There are certain things that should never be named among us, should never exist among the saints of God. So the seed was sown. There was a soft dirt that covered the rock. The seed was sown on it, but it had no depth. Actually, it would have been a superficial profession of salvation, but there was no genuine change of heart. My friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, your heart must be changed. There must be a spiritual operation of the heart that transforms our lives. This morning, we're lacking the spiritual insight that we need to comprehend that there are people that we have seen come to this altar or go to an altar somewhere, and for a season they had great joy, and for a while they believed, but they were never genuinely saved by the grace of God. Amen. Their hearts were not really changed. How do we know? Because they did not remain with us. John would tell us that if they were really saved, they would have stayed with us. I want us to notice some of these things with regard to those that have hard, rocky hearts. Seed has been sown there. It sprang up with joy and for a season. Now, I don't know about you, but people who depart the faith and apostatize, it's a detection that they have not really been to a fountain, the fountain of living water, and drank as they should have. And you know, some of you need to reclassify some of these friends, kids, acquaintances that you're associated with that have gotten out there so far, it's clear that they are hearts that are hard as a stone. And a seed was sown there, and they rejoiced and believed for a while, but when pressure came, they did not endure. We may need to reclassify them as deceived rather than saved. Amen? These people have no capacity for self-denial. Actually, if you notice here, what it says is that they receive the word, but when you read like over in Matthew, look over in Matthew chapter 13 just for a moment. Matthew chapter 13. I want us to notice that they were offended. Jesus, in another place, when he was giving this parable, he said this. He said in verse 20 of the 13th chapter of Matthew, "But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with rejoice," or immediately rejoice, "receiveth it, yet had he no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word." You know, there are people that get offended at our doctrines. You know, there was a case when Jesus was preaching and his sayings got hard, his doctrines got hard, and people went away. He looked to his disciples and said, "Will you also go away?" They were offended by the truth. And they went away. And Jesus said, these are professors that cannot embrace truth. They just cannot embrace sound doctrine. These are they that are offended. They are offended when persecution comes, when they have to take a stand for the truth, when they have to do what is right. They will not do it. They cannot do it because they have no root in themselves. The Christianity is superficial. Their hearts have never been really changed. They've not been really converted. They just imagine that they're pardoned. They've not really been saved. You know, there's an external beauty to religion. A lot of people associate themselves with religion because It's the in thing. It's the hip thing to do. You know, it's the common thing of our day to be a Christian, especially in America. But many are those, as Jesus talked about in the 15th chapter of Matthew, look in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. He said, "These people draw nigh unto me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." People, you want to prove to me that you're saved? You're justified in my sight by your works and not by faith alone. Isn't that what James said? That a man is justified by works in the sight of other men. The only way I know that you're a Christian is by the way you live your life. Not by what you say, but by what you do. It's not the hearing of the word, but the doing of the word that really determines whether or not a person has that relationship, that fundamental and most foundational, important relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's too many people that do honor Jesus with their lips and with their mouths. They may even rejoice for a season, but they cannot endure the sound doctrine. We live in a day when good sound doctrine doesn't exist like it once did. Paul told the young minister Timothy to preach the word. To be in season and out of season. We need to sow the seed in season and out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. He said, for the time will come when they will not listen, they will not heed, they will not hear sound doctrine, but shall take unto themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they'll turn their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. We have more fable false preaching done today than ever before. And churches are full of stone hard hearts where seed has fallen. And they've constructed, Satan has constructed a Christian church where there's no persecution. Nothing that goes on there can offend. Because they do nothing offensive. I mean, you know, them old preachers that used to preach, brother. Oh, Willie Taylor used to say, you know, if a sermon doesn't make you mad, glad, or sad, it's not good preaching. You know, he did. You know, if it don't get all over you sometime or another, then there's something wrong with you. You know, but if you flee, I'm thankful I'm associated with a church where, and I tell other preachers and other pastors that come here and help in revivals and preach from this pulpit that this is an easy church to preach to. If they'll stand up here and preach the truth, people will receive it here. What's wrong with these stony hearts? I think I am convinced that the condition of a man's heart can be changed. I believe the Holy Ghost is powerful enough to plow up a rocky heart. Amen. I looked up that passage I quoted last week. You'll find it in Hosea 10 and 12 where he says, "Sow unto yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground and seek the Lord for it's time to reign. It's time for him to rain his righteousness upon you." That's a wonderful passage of scripture. But the reason a lot of these hearts are stony and rocky is because there's not been proper plowing of the Holy Ghost. There needs to be a conviction from God to set upon your soul before you get saved. Worldly sorrow will work death, but godly sorrow will work repentance unto salvation. Amen. There must be a spiritual Holy Ghost conviction to come upon your heart. Yes, the gospel plow is in cooperation with God. We are co-workers with God. Amen. And we plow this gospel plow. The message, the saving message of Jesus Christ must go beyond just the entering of your ears and your mind. It needs to get down in your heart. And when you see the true sinfulness of yourself and you go to the Savior with that conviction, when the Holy Spirit has let you look at yourself as God sees you, when you look on Him whom you pierced, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for your sins, how when you see just how awful in your heart and your life and how you've transgressed His law, then you'll flee to the Savior and lay hold of the refuge of eternal life. But the just deciding to be a Christian because it makes sense is not good enough. There must be repentance. There must be faith. And in Colossians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 9 or 10, Paul said, faith is an operation of the heart. The stony heart of your heart. And I'm not going to be able to get to it all. But in the book of Ezekiel, when he talked about how that the stony heart had to be transformed, how it had to be changed, you need a heart operation. Amen. I mean, there needs to be dynamite to blast that rocky heart into fertile soil. Amen. I contend that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power, the dunamis, the dynamite to blast your soul from a state of sin to a state of salvation. Then in cooperation with the Holy Ghost, that when true conviction sets up in your soul, it will bring you to a place to where you can trust in Jesus and be transformed. Where that you'll have a relationship where the seed Jesus is really in your soul by and through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is in you. He's in your heart. He's in your life. And he begins to consume your life and overtake your life and sanctify your life. Amen. There must be a change. The stony heart has to be removed. There must be a sensitivity, a heart placed there where you're sensitive to the things of God. Then you'll be planted by the river of waters and you will flourish and you will yield fruit. As we read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and who hopes in the Lord. He says, for he shall be a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And shall not see when, or shall not wither when heat cometh. Look there in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. For her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. People who are really saved yield fruit to God. People that are really saved, you shall know them. Jesus said that twice in Matthew chapter 7. You'll know them by the fruit they bear, what they yield. He says in these passages, in Jeremiah chapter 17, that they shall yield fruit. It's the same thing that the psalmist basically said in the first psalm, Psalms chapter 1. Oh, I love this psalm. Blessed is a man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth meditate day and night, and he shall be a tree planted by the river of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth, it shall prosper. Amen. There's a guarantee that when you are blessed, when you've trusted, really trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not wither under the pressures and persecutions and tribulations and trials of life, but you will flourish. Amen. Yield your fruit in the season, and everything you do shall prosper. I'm afraid that we have a lot of people that have rugged and rebellious wills, and they won't change. They want to be Christian, but they don't want to change. I mean, come on now. Y'all know about this. They have wills that refuse to change. I'm not going to change. I tell you. They believe you must be a new creature, but won't become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Right. Refuse to become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Believe these things regarding regeneration, but have never experienced the washing of regeneration and the Holy Ghost. Salvation is experimental knowledge that starts at the point that you believe and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and continues to be experienced throughout the rest of your life. Amen. It's more than just a one-time deal. Amen. I tell you, when you bought with a price, you bought with a price. You're bought. You're His. And He is yours. Yes. Yes. But new ground is broken up. And we need to break up new ground. And I believe there are a lot of people that become hard because of various things. And there are various causes for having a rock-hard heart. I don't know if I have time to get to all of them today or not. But I do want to say this. Those of you that are young, you need to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. Yes, while your soil is fresh, while you're young and it's tender, easily plowable by the Holy Ghost, the seed goes in quickly and easily, that's when you need to seek the Lord till He rains His righteousness upon you. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Now these people that we read about here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, they are a people that apparently have no fruit, no saving grace. They're a people with no inward sanctification. They have a rootless relationship. Their salvation is shallow. The seed has not been sown into the depths of the soul. It's only on the surface. It's only in their mind. It's not in their hearts. My friend, salvation must be in your heart. You must be born from above. And I'll tell you, when you're born again by the Spirit of God, it will hit your soul. It's not physical. It's not mental. It's spiritual. Purely spiritual. Salvation is spiritual. When your spirit and God's spirit come together, it's not a physical thing. Amen. Now, I'm not saying people don't get emotional. Right? I'm not saying that people don't experience emotional things, but salvation is not emotional. Now, there may be emotions that are stirred as a result of it. If you're a more emotional person than somebody else, you may be real emotional. Somebody else may not be emotional at all. But you know when God's spirit comes in contact with your spirit.
Amen.
Amen. It's a spiritual. God is a spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This seed that was sown on the surface had emotion, but it did not have that genuine spiritual perception from God.
Amen.
There was joy. There was gladness. There was excitement. Thankfulness that there was an attachment. Immediately, Mark says, immediately he receives it and embraces it, but never has an alteration, a transformation, a changed heart. My friend, there must be a change in you. There must be something that comes from God that lets you know that you've been pardoned through the blood of Jesus. There has to be something to come in you, a divine nature to come into you. God's seed must be planted in you.
Amen.
But you cannot sin. Whatever that means. Amen?
Amen.
It's got to be there. God's seed must be there. And He says those that are born of God have God's seed in them. I mean in the depths of their soul. That Spirit of God. You know, these people didn't have that. There was a premature joy. Sometimes a premature joy is a bad sign. Too joyful before you convicted. Amen? Can that happen? Make a profession of religion because you hear not, and before your heart's broken up by the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
Can that happen? Yeah, sure it can. People do it all the time. That's glad to receive it. But really haven't had a change. Listen, you may be one of these people. You may have a rock-hard heart. And the seed has only been sown on the surface. But your soul has not been changed. Listen, you must be rooted and grounded in the love of God in Christ Jesus. These people didn't have a genuine sorrow. They did not have that persevering attachment to Christ. I mean, it was like a novelty. It wore off. Jesus talked about some folks in his day with regard to John's preaching. In John chapter 5, verse 35, he was talking about John the Baptist in John 5 and 35, and he says, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in the lights. He was talking about them responding to John the Baptist's preaching. They were willing for a short time to be part of this. You know, sometimes I wonder if we don't have church trouble just to get rid of some rocky hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. God has a way of exposing those. Those that are saved have a permanent attachment to Christ.
Amen.
They can't let go of Jesus, and Jesus won't let go of them.
Amen.
Those who are in the Father's hand stay in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck him out. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, I believe in perseverance of the saint, and it guarantees and assures me of eternal security. But eternal security is always, always, always in the context of enduring to the end.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about God in you, my brother. God in your heart and God in your life and you in God. What a glorious thing to be planted in God and God planted in us. But they were willing for a season to rejoice in the light. They had no saving union to Jesus Christ. These people here that have rock-hard hearts have no saving union to Jesus Christ. They don't doubt the gospel. They just not embrace the gospel. They don't doubt the work of the Holy Spirit. They just haven't had a work of the Holy Spirit. They don't doubt that there's forgiveness of sin and that there's joy in Jesus Christ. They just not experienced the forgiveness of sin and the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Turn to the 8th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 8, just for a moment. I'm going to close. Listen, my friend, temporary faith is not saving faith. Do you hear me? Temporary faith is not saving faith. There's a lot of people that have zeal. Paul said, I reckon they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge in Romans chapter 10. There's a lot of people that are zealous for God, but aren't saved. And Paul admitted that about the Jews in his day. It's like in 2 Kings 10 and 16, where the guy said, you know, come unto me and I'll show you the zeal of the Lord. But his zeal was the glory, and his zeal was interest in self and not in the Savior. Listen, if we glory, we need to glory in the Lord.
Amen.
Not glory in our zeal or our abilities. Notice here, this Simeon, when he was, he believed. Look in Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to close. Verse 13, then Simeon himself believed also. Notice what I left out. Then Simeon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, now listen, here's a man that believed himself and was baptized. He heard the preaching of Philip the evangelist, believed about Jesus Christ and was baptized. But then it was revealed when he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost, as you can read on here in Acts chapter 8, he was not really saved. And once it was revealed, he said this, this is what Peter said. Peter said unto him, verse 20, thy money perisheth with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of the Holy Ghost be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Amen.
Repent, therefore, thy wickedness, and pray to God, perhaps the thoughts of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. If your faith fizzles, it was probably fraud from the first.
Amen.
You hear me? Faith that fizzles is fraud faith, temporary faith. It was a hard, rocky heart that the seed landed on. There was joy and belief for a time, but it never did stick. Never did stick. I want to preach a gospel that sticks, falls on good ground, and brings forth fruit. Some 20-fold, some 30-fold, some 100-fold. Listen, I'm not interested in a big congregation of people. I'm interested in fruit of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what kind of membership I pastor. I just want to see people that are fruitful in the Lord. See the sown of the soul that produces good works unto God, that glorifies the name of Jesus. Listen, you may be one of those that the seed was sown, but it never really landed in your heart. You need to come to Jesus and get really saved. Not just think you're saved, but know you're saved. Listen, salvation starts on the inside and works its way out. Amen? I realize at first it may be difficult to live the Christian life, but you got to. I mean, it's like you can't help but live the Christian life because the Lord's in you. You know what I'm talking about? And a lot of these folks that, you know, I remember one guy in particular. He came up here, man, he made a big display. He was all excited about, you know, this and hooping and hollering. But I'll tell you something, it didn't stick. It makes me doubt whether he really got saved. Doesn't it you? I mean, it happens here. But it doesn't happen here as often as it does a lot of other places. And you know why? Because we want to see fruit. Amen?
Amen?
I appreciate your attention. Let the congregation stand. Let's sing a song. Maybe somebody here wants to pray. If you have a fruitless salvation, come to Jesus. Let the seed of God be planted in you. Let it germinate. If your heart is hard, rock hard. There are many various reasons for rock hard hearts. In most cases, it's a refusal to surrender and yield your will. My friend, unless you have a lordship salvation, you don't have salvation.
Amen.
If you don't have a discipleship salvation, you don't have the salvation of the Bible. Because we are to make disciples, to follow the Lord. There must be a yielding, a surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, to where you conform your life to His. Rock hard hearts. Are there any here today? Seed has only been sown superficially. It's not hit the depths of your soul. Let us sing.